Okay, I hope everyone had an easy fast. We're in Parak Gimel in Hilchos Shabbos. We left off, we had done Halacha Gimel, but just to review, we're going to be dealing now with many of the halachas, which is the primary focus of this parak, for what's called Shehiya and Chazara. And this has to do with, again, this starts off with the principle of you're allowed to initiate a malacha on Erev Shabbos before Shabbos starts, even if that malacha was going to be completed on Shabbos itself. And initially, in Halacha Gimel, the Rama presents the same principles applying to cooking, meaning that, in theory, a person can put a pot of food on a fire, which we'll get to the different cases very, very soon, but he can put a pot of food on a fire and let it cook all of Shabbos, in other words, meaning it started Erev Shabbos and cooked into Shabbos itself. However, Chazal stepped in due to a very, very important concern, which is Gzeira Shema Yachta Be'Chol and B'Shabbos. The concern was is that when food is cooking over a flame, so a person's tendency, and let's assume back then we're talking about coals, what you're going to do is move the coals around to adjust the fire. Again, the parallel today would be the knobs on your oven. Now, granted, today we're not really as involved in that because we have a more precise way of setting temperature. So if we set our oven for 350, we don't have to go back and start playing with a knob to get it perfect. It's at 350. But that is the equivalent. The equivalent today of the concern of playing with the coals, that equivalent is the knob that's on your oven. Okay, so the Rambam's going to explain Halacha Dala now, how this works. He says, Ketza, Tafshil Shalo Bishal Kol Tzorcho. Okay, so you have a food, something you're going to cook, that has been cooked incompletely. Okay, so meaning that it's not raw. Okay, Shalo Bishal Kol Tzorcho means it's not that it's inedible. Just think of meat to make it easier, but it's not raw meat, which is inedible. It's edible, but it hasn't been cooked to completion. V'chamin shelo hochmu, water that hasn't been boiled, kol tzorchan, otavshil shebash bishel kol tzorcho, the kolzman shemitztamek hu yafilo. And the third one is something that has been cooked to the point of being edible, but as long as I keep it on the oven, it improves the way it'll taste. An example might be, it doesn't matter how it's cooked, but let's say something like cholent. The cholent is something where it can hit the point of being edible, not only edible, then bishul kol tzorcho, meaning it's cooked to the point where it's definitely in its prime eating state, I guess. But if you cook it further, it's good for the food, meaning it's improved. It's improved insofar as its edibility as you continue to cook it. So the Rambam says, "Im shano sol gabe eish b'Shabbos." You do not put that on the on the fire in Shabbos, afi shehunach mi bod yom, right? Even though it was on there, before Shabbos started, gzeira shema yachde b'cholim kedahashlim bishulo okedei latzamka. So what's the problem? The problem is that if this food was put on the fire before Shabbos, so the problem is that as Shabbos starts, he's gonna start playing with the coals, meaning he's going to ensure the coals are distributed or the fire is burning properly, and that's going to be an Isser D'Oraisa on Shabbos. So again, the concern here, and this is an important point, which Rambam himself actually mentions, the concern here is not that the person is violating the problem or lack of a problem of starting Malacha on Erev Shabbos. The problem is, in this unique situation, a person's tendency is to stoke the coals. And by stoking the coals, he's going to be over Nisha D'Oraisa. Okay, however, what's the way around this? Lefikach im garaf eish o shekisa eish akira, which I'll explain what that is in a second, be'efer, o ben oris apishtan adaka o she'amu b'gecholam, shereihen kimchusos be'efer, o shehisikua b'kasha b'gvava, o b'glole b'heim adaka, sherei ein sham gecholam ba'aros, harei ze mutter lishos alea, sherei hisiech daito mizem at atavsho v'in gozun shema yachta be'esh. Okay, so I'm going to work from the bottom up. The key point here is, in order to ensure the person will not stoke the coals, we have to create what's called the Hesech Hadas. There has to be a break, a separation, a mental separation between the cooking taking place, right, and the way he relates to it. okay, meaning the phenomenon and how he sees the phenomenon. So how do we do that? So all the examples he gives here are either removing the coals completely, which obviously takes care of the problem, or to make the simple case, another example is using different types of coals that don't really burn for a long period of time, or covering the fire, which is the one I think that most people are familiar with, certainly the older people, because the original blechs were these metal sheets that went over the flames that were on your stovetop. That's the idea of kisui. Kisui means that you're covering it up. Now, what does that accomplish? When a person sees, right, the flame, the coals being covered, okay, with ashes, he's going to remember. He's going to realize, this is what he called, Shabbos time, etc. And he's not going to be involved in stoking the coals. So the point is that Chazal recognized that a person needs to eat on Shabbos in order to ensure that the issue of stoking the coals is removed from the picture. They created these types of solutions to ensure that there's a Hesech Hadas. As long as the Hesech Hadas is present, then the person's allowed to use it. Okay, one other issue of terminology. The Rambam here is referring to Akira. So Akira was basically a two-pot stovetop phenomenon, meaning there was kind of like the best way to describe it is imagine like a horizontal area and then two vertical sides, okay, with a fire underneath and two holes where pots would go in, right? So it was open, that's a key point, it was open to wind and stuff, okay, meaning the front and back were open, right? Fire was underneath it, and you put two pots, okay, and the number two is going to make a difference, two pots over the fire, okay? That's the Kira case. To put it in more categorical terms, what the Rambam is referring to by Kira, we'll call it moderate heat, okay? It's the moderate heat, oven or stovetop, okay? That's halacha tala, okay? Now, halacha hay, okay, the Rambam's going to qualify this, okay, so this is all talking about a case of these open stovetop oven type things where the fire is not as big. Aval hatanor. Now, tanor here means almost like a three-walled and sealed at the top oven, okay? Afa pisha garaf eish or kisa be'efer or shisikua be'kash or be'gvava emishan besocho v'lo agaba v'lo somcha lo tafshil shlo bishol kol tzorcho So when it comes to an oven, which has a much more intense heat, the halacha is that even if I removed the flame or I was mechasa the afer, all the kulas, the leniencies that apply by Akira don't apply by a tanur. Okay, and not only can I not even put the food inside an Erev Shabbos, I can't even put it next to it or on top of it on Shabbos. Why? Ho v'hevelo cham b'yoser. Right, since the heat that comes out of there is more intense, Ein masiach daito. There's never a hesach adas. V'choshim shema yachta bezua eish ma'uta. Afa bishi eish kashu gvava mechusa. And we're concerned he'll still stoke the coals, even though by covering it you've minimized the impact. Nonetheless, since the oven produces more heat, there's a concern that the individual will play with the will stoke the coals. Okay, so again, whereas with Akira, the leniencies can exist because we can create a hesach adas, and that's based on the fact that the nature of the fire there is less potent. When it comes to a tanur, to an oven that's sealed, well, I shouldn't say sealed, but that is walled in. There's still an opening in the front to put the food in and out of, but it's walled in, and the heat's much more intense, so this doesn't apply. Of course, then the question is, what is it comparable to today? So our ovens today are not quite the same thing as a tanur, even though the heat inside is pretty intense. However, there is a vent inside. We can get to that a little later on, what the halacha is today by ovens. Okay, so, and the Rambam even explains, in halacha vav, v'lama asu lishos patanur af bishagaruf. Why would the Chachamim come along and say it's prohibited to put the food inside this semi-enclosed oven, even though I removed the fire source? Because even when you remove the coals, you don't remove the entire thing. Right, and it's impossible to remove every single ember, right, from the oven. If that's the case, so the problem is, and since the heat is so much more intense than the oven, we still have the concern that even though, again, the majority of the heat source is removed, we're still concerned that the individual will end up wanting to stoke the coals. Okay, now Halacha Zion. Now there's one type of course, being that this is Halacha, of course there's one type of oven that's between a tanor, which we'll call high heat, and a kira, which is moderate heat. And that's a kupach, okay? So a kupach, hevelo rav mehevel akira, umua mehevel atanor. Okay, now a kupach, what it looks like, by the way, it's a kira with only one opening for a pot. Okay, so a kupach is a one-hole stovetop oven type thing, okay? So again, its fire is stronger and more potent than a kira, but less than the burning of a tanor. So therefore, lefichach imisiku abegefes obeitzim harihur katanor. Okay, so if I use regular coal or wood, it becomes like a tanur. Remember, we can never let a middle category in halacha stay on its own. It's going to fall underneath one of the two. So if I use regular coals, bam, it becomes like a tanur. But if I use a less potent fuel source that burns out quicker, then it becomes like a kira, shusaka bekashu gvav mishanolov, and then I could use it. Okay, umuter lismoch lakira mi be'erev, the afa pishena grufa ketuba. Okay, and there, but I can put food on the side. Okay, and that's an important halacha. Next to a kira on erev Shabbos, even if the kira, if again this is the two pot stovetop oven thing, even if there I did it, it wasn't guard for katam, meaning I didn't cover the coals or sweep them away. So you could put food next to it. To the tanner, you cannot. But when it comes to the kira, you could. Veizu hikira veizu kupach. Kira makam shvisa shnei kederos. Kupach makam shvisa kedera achas. Like I said before, a kira has an opening for two pots, whereas a kupach has an opening only for one pot. But that's a key point. You're allowed to put food next to the kira, okay, to heat up on Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos itself. Remember, you can't do that by tanner, but you could do that by a kira. Okay, now, halacha ches. Now, at this point, you would say to yourself, okay, well, that seems to be where, again, the food was ena bevashal kol tzorcho, or mevashal kol tzorcho mstamek v'yafelo. However, but there's two other exceptions. And halacha ches, the Rambam explains, tav shel chai, shelo bishal klal. So let's say raw meat, okay, that wasn't cooked at all. O, shebishal kol tzorcho mstamek v'ralo. Or, let's say you have a food that's cooked to the point where it is edible, and it is, excuse me, normally served in such a way. However, in cooking it longer, it's not an improvement to the food, or it makes the food worse. Okay, mutter l'shoso al gabe ish ben kira ben kupach o kupach ben tanner. So that's a huge leniency. Okay, you're allowed to put raw meat, okay, in the tanner, okay, on top of a kira on Erev Shabbos. Okay, 100% mutter. Okay. Now, v'chein tavshil shabisha v'lo bisha kol tzorcha. Well, actually, let me go back. So why should that be the case? Because at the end of the day, what's going to happen is that, in other words, since the food isn't close to being cooked, there's an automatic hesach hadas built in. Okay, so again, when it comes to food that's bishal, eino bivashal kol tzorcha, that doesn't mean it's raw. Eino bivashal kol tzorcha means there is some edibility to it, right? So it's getting closer to the point of how I want to eat it, right? So then there's a concern a guy's going to play with the coals. But if the food is raw and he knows it's going to be, like, again, being hyperbolic, hours until he's going to be able to have this meat, he's not going to stoke the coals, okay? Or mistamek v'rolo. So v'chein, which is a natural hesech hadas, because he doesn't care. In other words, the fact that the food's on there and it's making it worse, there's no reason for him to stoke the coals, because that he only stoked the coals to improve the food. Also, v'chein tavshol shebisha v'lo bisha kol tzorcho. Or let's say you have a cooked dish that it wasn't cooked to its completion, obishakol tzorcho v'mstamek v'yafalo, or it's cooked to completion but it improves. Im hishlich l'socho eiver chai. Okay, so let's say I have like a stew, okay? And let's say the stew actually is cooked cold tzorcho, but what do? Because I'm a clever guy. I throw in some raw meat into the stew. Meaning, okay, I'm not going to go ahead and eat the stew in the current state that it's in. Before the raw meat was there, it's in a mevashal kol tzorcho, which means it's not cooked to its end point, but there's no question it's edible. But once I throw the raw meat in there, what have I now done to the stew? I've rendered it inedible. Again, the stew takes on the quality of the eiver chai. So if I do that, samach l'bein ha-shvashos, nasa kol ketav shel chai, I make the entire stew as if it's raw, umutter la'shos ala'esh, and therefore, I can keep it on the fire. Afal pi shelo garfa lo chisa, even if I didn't do Garfakatum. So even if I didn't get rid of the coals or do the requirements to produce Hesach Hadas, once it's a Tav Shulchai, v'nei shekvar hisiech daitum imenu, v'eino bo lachdos b'chacholim. So there's an automatic Hesach Hadas built into Tav Shulchai as well. So that's the other circumvention of the Gzera. One circumvention is Garfakatum, right, by Akira, which is either getting rid of the coals or covering them. The other way around, which includes both Tanur and Kupach, is to use raw meat. If a person puts on raw meat, on a flame, it's perfectly fine to do on Erev Shabbos because there's an automatic Hesach Hadas built in, since it's going to take hours upon hours for it to be completed. Okay. So now the Rambam's going to get to some other particulars, but this is obviously a very large, complex area by Shehiyah. And again, if you want to start thinking of the equivalencies, so you can understand things like where things like a warming tray come in, platas. Platas are a big issue, again, because platas don't give off the same kind of heat as certainly not as an oven, but as a kira. What are the status for ovens today, etc.? These are all very, very important questions. Halacha test. Now, let's say I did it. Let's say I was over the Isser. Kol tafshel she'asur lahashoso. Let's say any cooked dish that is prohibited to heat up on Erev Shabbos, if I heat it up on Erev Shabbos, into Shabbos itself, asur la'achlo on Motzei Shabbos. V'yamtim b'kadeshi yasu. So it's prohibited. Okay? I am not allowed to go ahead and eat this food on Shabbos. Rather, what do? I wait until Shabbos is over. And not only I have to do that, I have to wait enough time for as if this food would have been cooked to begin with. So let's say it was a chicken. Let's say it took an hour and a half. I got to wait an hour and a half after Shabbos is over before I can eat that food. Now, v'im shachacho, let's say it was a case where the individual forgot he left this food on the kira Erev Shabbos. Okay? Im tavsa shalo b'shokol tzorchahu, asra ad mosi Shabbos. So if it's a food that wasn't cooked to its point, to its entirety, then it's prohibited to eat until Shabbos is over. But if it was something that was cooked to its end point, okay, and cooking it further would just improve it, right, then actually it's mutter to eat it on Shabbos. So again, if I forgot and left something on the Kira Erev Shabbos, it all depends on what the status of the food is. If it's not Mevashel Kol Tzorcho, then I can't have it till Motzei Shabbos. If it is Mevashel Kol Tzorcho, but it's Mestamek V'Yafalo, then it'll be mutter to eat on Shabbos itself. Okay, now comes the other side of the coin, which is what's called Chazara. Unfortunately, this is a very misunderstood idea today. It's very unfortunate. It's really critical to understand. The Rambam doesn't have that much on it, but it's really critical to understand what the limitations of Chazara as well. Now, what's Chazara? Chazara means returning the food to the fire. Okay, so again, let's just take an easy case. All right, I take the food, let's say it's Friday night, I take the food I cook the food starting Erev Shabbos into Shabbos itself. That's Shehiya, okay? Chazara is, after I take the food off the fire, can I then return it to the fire itself, okay? So, because remember, theoretically, if I'm returning it back to the fire, you can almost, in a sense, are you concerned that I'm now cooking again, or the problems of playing with the coals reintroduced, etc.? So the Rambam explains in Halacha Yud, Kol shemutter lashoso agabe ish, all right, kishen notlin oso b'shabbos, also lahachzir limkoma. Okay? So, anything that's mutter to cook Erev Shabbos, once I take it off the Kira, right, I cannot put it back on the Kira on Shabbos itself. I cannot. Ve'im achzir l'olam, ela agabe Kira gufa, o mechuso b'kira, v'kupach shu saku b'kashu v'vava. And the only way Chazara can ever emerge, okay, is if it's on a Kira, that's Garfakatum. Okay, meaning it can only work if the... I'll just stick with the Kira to make it easy. It only works if the Kira itself, right, is lacking, let's say, coals. So this way, again, I'm not concerned about stoking them. V'hu shelo hiniach hakdir al gabei akarka. Okay, and that's the other critical point. There cannot be a break, meaning if I put the pot that was cooking on... Or let's say I took the pot off the Kira, okay, served... dinner, and then put the pot in the kitchen table. The problem is, at that point, now there's a break. So Chazara means, literally, returning it to being Mishaha, returning it to Shehiyah. If I go ahead and and what it called, and then put it on the kitchen counter. Now that's a new placing of the pot onto the kira. So in other words, chazara is only mutter when the chazara is part of the shahiyah. But once the break takes place, for instance, I put it on the ground, so then at that point in time, I can no longer say that that's a chazara. It's a new action. All right? Aval mishahinicha agave karka e machzir nosa. Well, once I put it on the ground, okay, then I cannot return it to the kira. Afilu agave kira grufa mechusa. Even if the kira is, is garfakatum. Vim machzir letan of lova kubach, shusaka begefas of etim, afa pishagarfa kisa meshahavel and chamiyoser. The chol she'im machzir no love ain't some chlo b'shabbos. Okay, and not only can I not put it, and there's anything I can't do chazara on, I can't also put it next to the heat source on Shabbos itself. So at this point, by the way, this raises, if you just had this halacha alone, it would be almost impossible to ever reheat up food on Shabbos for Shabbos lunch. Just think about that. That's a chazara. Like I said, chazara is a misunderstood thing. It's not so simple to say that I could just go ahead and take food from my refrigerator that was heated up before Shabbos and just stick it on the blech. And unfortunately, I'm not even getting to what the difference is lach and yavish. That's a whole other issue of dry foods versus wet foods. But it's a serious concern. However, on the other hand, whatever. I'm going to leave it there for now. So chazara on the surface is something that is a very, very important halacha to investigate. It's not as simple as just simply taking any food that's in my refrigerator and throwing it back on the fire on Shabbos itself. Okay, halacha yud aleph. Let's do one more here. Asur lahachnis magrifa likdera b'Shabbos. Okay, so you're not allowed to stick a ladle, okay, into a cooking dish on Shabbos. Right, viala esh, meaning let's say it's a pot of stew that's on the fire and it's Shabbos. I can't stick the ladle inside. Lahotzi mimena b'Shabbos. Okay, so I can't stick the ladle inside to take out some of the food. Why? Neisha megisba. Okay. V'zeh mitzarchei abishalhu. V'nimsa kimivashal b'Shabbos. So ladling is considered like tzarchei bishal. It's like necessary for cooking. Remember, it's similar to stirring. And then that's the whole question, if it's actually cooking or if it appears like it's cooking. But nonetheless, it's considered kimivashal b'Shabbos. So you're never allowed to stick a ladle into that which is cooking over the fire. However, let's say I take off food from one kira and I want to transfer it to a different kira. Okay? That's mutter to do. Alright? So it wouldn't matter if the heat source from one kira is smaller than the other. So again, it is permitted for me to go ahead and take a pot and switch it from kira A to kira B. However, I can't take it from a covered heat source to an uncovered heat source. Hatmana refers to when it's covered. So I can never remove it from something that's a covered / uncovered to one that's uncovered covered. That will never work. Okay? So that is prohibitive. Yes.